here with you this morning, to those in the room as well as those tuning in online. I want to run past a date past you to see if you remember this date. March 11th, 2020. Does anyone know what happened March 11th, 2020? Yell it out if you know it. COVID. COVID hit the American shore. And if you remember, I vividly remember this. I remember seeing these news flash of, oh, COVID's just like a thing overseas. It's in other countries. Surely it won't come to America. And then it comes to America. And over the next few months, it began to wildly spread through our country. In fact, I remember sitting at a conference table with our staff team at the church I pastored in Florida, and we were sitting there trying to figure out, what do we do in this new age of COVID? And I think, like many churches, if you remember, most churches went online, they didn't meet in person. There was this whole new realm of online ministry that started flourishing, and we were trying to figure stuff out. I was telling our student leaders this past week, they came over to our house to meet, and I said, during that time, I specifically remember we had to take youth group online. We did Instagram Live. We did Netflix watch parties. We tried whatever we could to engage students in that time. The other thing, I don't know how much it was here in Mount Joy, but in Florida, in the city I came from, how many remember having to stand in line to get toilet paper? Crazy, right? I remember going, there's a grocery chain in Florida called Publix, and I remember getting there very early. I remember texting Becca saying, babe, if I don't get there, we're not going to have toilet paper, we're going to use leaves, it's going to be horrible. And so I remember getting there, and there's already a line, and I'm like, this is crazy, this is insanity. How about Lysol? Anyone remember the Lysol shortage that just lasted for months? And then the Lysol can that used to cost like $3 is now like $8, and it's just wild. COVID ultimately changed the landscape and history of our world. I think COVID did something besides harming physical health to a lot of people. I know during that time, obviously, there was a lot of great loss. There was great loss emotionally, there was great loss physically, there was loved ones who maybe contracted it and passed away. And I remember the feeling during COVID of feeling so anxious because we didn't know what tomorrow would bring. I remember going to church and my lead pastor saying, this is unprecedented, we don't know what's going to happen, and there's this fear that came upon the people. There was this anxious feelings. Maybe some of you would wake up in the middle of the night thinking, am I going to be able to get food tomorrow? Am I going to be able to go to work? Am I going to be able to go to church? COVID created what I'm titling today's message, the age of anxiety. The age of anxiety. And so if you're taking notes, write that down. The age of anxiety. Forbes Health recently published an article on mental health and specifically relating to anxiety. And here are some statistics that might, I don't know, encourage you or kind of maybe put you in a place of feeling like, man, this is crazy. In 2020, 21% of U.S. adults, which is 52.9 million, experienced a mental health condition. Worldwide, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the number of anxiety and depressive disorders grew. Depressive symptoms grew from a base of about 193 million people worldwide to 246 million, which is about a 28% increase. Anxiety disorders grew from about 298 million people to 374 million. Which is about a 25% increase. And the article goes on to say that specifically related to anxiety, anxiety disorders such as generalized anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorder, and panic disorder are some of the most commonly diagnosed mental health conditions in the U.S., affecting 42.5 million adults. Crazy statistics. When I look at that, I can't help but think, as Carl just stated, though we are living in the age of anxiety, of social panic, of social disorder, that people that have gone way before us in centuries past also struggled with this thing called anxiety. And so it's not new. And maybe you're sitting here today and you could say, I've never struggled with anxiety. I've never battled it. I don't know what it feels like. As someone who has battled it myself, and I'll get into that story in a little bit, I can assure you it is the most real feeling in the world when you're in the midst of it. Anxiety feels suffocating. It's like if you can imagine like a snake like wrapping itself around you and taking the air out of your lungs, it keeps you awake at night. Maybe some of you've had like anxious dreams before or anxious thoughts. Maybe you go to work every day and you're wondering, is my boss gonna like slam his foot down on me? Those are all things that anxiety cause. And I believe in the realm of mental health, specifically relating to anxiety, that there is a spiritual battle to be had, but as well as a physical clinical battle to be had. This series, we've been talking about winning the war in our minds. And I love the first 2 weeks, Carl kind of laid the foundation for this and talked about how do we overcome some of these things that seem to plague us. And last week, Jeremy did such a phenomenal job in his message. And so today, I want to wrap this series up by something that I think if we go according to Forbes here, I would say many of us in this room, even maybe today, are battling it. And it's not necessarily a fun topic. It's not like one of those sermon topics where you're like, yeah, I'm preaching on anxiety. But it's one that I think the church needs to do a better job at preaching on. I think far too many churches kind of shove mental health under the carpet and don't talk about it. And can I just say, I'm grateful that we are in a church that talks about mental health. Because the Bible actually has a lot to say in regards to this. Matthew 6, Pastor Carl just read this to us. I love this scripture so much because it gives us this kind of clarity. Jesus, in fact, is talking to the people and he's talking about worry. And worry in the Greek is actually a translation of anxiety. And so when you see the word worry, you can put the word anxious or anxiety or this feeling of just feeling like I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. When I read this story, though, something always kind of funny happens. I always think to myself, imagine today if all of us leave here and we walk outside and the grass and the trees are just screaming. Wouldn't that be weird? Wouldn't it be weird if you walked outside and the trees like, please, God, feed me. And the grass is like uproaring and it's like shaking, but they don't, right? Like you don't hear the birds like coming by saying, man, I need food. No, they don't worry about that stuff because according to the word, their heavenly Father knows their needs. That knows their needs so well that they don't have to worry about their next meal. They don't have to worry what tomorrow is going to bring because their heavenly Father knows. Can I just encourage you today that your heavenly Father knows the needs currently in your life? That he knows the battle that maybe is so dark and so alone and you've been in for maybe years. He knows that battle better than anyone else. And you might not be able to admit it to someone or share it with someone, but your heavenly Father today in this place knows that battle that you're facing. He knows those present needs. I like that Jesus specifically pointed out, he said, hey, for the pagans, they do that kind of stuff, right? The people who don't know God and have personal relationship with God, they're the ones that scream out, give me food, give me water. They're the ones that I can just imagine during COVID-19 are stockpiling stuff and worrying. And for God's people, I think there's a point in our life where we use sound judgment and discernment, but we also, there comes a place where we have to trust and believe that he is a good heavenly Father who has our best. In fact, we sang about it this morning in the goodness of God, that his goodness runs after us, it chases us, pursues us. Maybe you're facing a health crisis today that's not mental related. Maybe it's a physical sickness in your body and it's causing worry or panic. Can I just assure you today that if no one else sees that condition, God sees it. Paul in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, this is coming from the NIV, says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I love that part. I want to pause on that. Paul just kind of, he's going to lay out this groundwork for us when we feel anxious and what do we do with that. But before he does that, I love that he says the Lord is near. Can I just say the Lord is not only near to the brokenhearted, to the people that are in distress, the Lord is near to every single person in this room who confesses that Jesus is Lord. The Lord is near. He's near in your family when you're experiencing crisis. He's near in the moments of pain, in the moments of rejection, that the Lord is near. And can I just encourage you, it's time to trust in it. It's time to trust that God is near to you, that he loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to see your marriage flourish. He wants to see your personal life flourish, that he's near. Paul goes on to say, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Notice, what does Paul say? Does he say some situations? Does he say when you feel like it? No, he says every situation. Can I just get a personal check on the heart? That's hard sometimes, right? I wish I could say every single time, man, I bat it 100%. I wish. But Paul says in every situation, don't be anxious. He goes on to say, this is the strategy, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and I love this, he says, and the peace of God. Can we say that this morning? Can we say, the peace of God? The peace of God, which transcends, he says, all understanding. When I look at that word understanding, I think to my intellect, to the times where it just doesn't make sense to have the peace of God. Paul is saying the peace of God will come when you're filled with anxiety, when you're filled with worry. The peace of God comes, it transcends that thinking, and it says this, it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Love that the peace of God just doesn't come and make you feel good. It actually guards your heart and mind when anxiety comes to make war on you. If you're taking notes, write this down. My one and only point today is this. Proper alignment with God gives us peace in the midst of anxiety. Proper alignment with God. What does this look like? About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I started feeling a really, really, just like really bad pain in my lower back. And I've never had back issues before. In Florida, I would see a chiropractor. But it wasn't because I had back issues. It's just because I know adjustments can sometimes be good. So I started feeling that pain. And it got to the point where I literally could barely walk or bend over. I would get out of bed. I was like, man, I feel like I'm like 100 years old right now. Like I'm 31. What is going on? And I had a strained muscle in my back. So I made an appointment with a local chiropractor in E-Town. And I remember I laid on the table and he said, man, your spine is really not aligned. And I said, that's encouraging to hear. And he's like, but don't worry, we're going to get it realigned for you. And so I've been going to him a couple times. And this last appointment, he said, your spine today is completely straight. But when you came in, it was so jacked up. And if you've ever been to a chiropractor, first off, it can be a traumatic experience. If you've never had your neck cracked or your bones cracked, it can feel strange. It's a very strange sensation. But I left that first appointment feeling, man, I feel like I can actually walk straighter. I feel better. I went home and I told Becca, I was like, I just feel good. And when we're aligned right in our body does feel good. And so I want to paint this illustration because there's this, I'm going to have the guys put the graphic on the screen there. There's this thing within our body. So we have body, soul, and spirit. And each one of these things represent something. So our soul is our mind, it's our emotion, it's our will, it's our intellect. Our body is our physical being. And then there's our spirit. And our spirit is the thing that until Christ Jesus comes and saves and redeems it, that thing doesn't exist. It's dead. But when he comes on the scene and brings salvation into our life, our spirit now is the God center of our being. It's the thing that, have you ever maybe had like a check in your heart or spirit and you just feel like a, that's that thing that's guiding you. And I think for a lot of us, when social disorders or mental health crisis come, our spirit man so desperately is trying to say, would you trust in the peace of God? But our soul, oftentimes, what I've saw personally, is our soul takes the full control and our spirit man goes to the back. And so I'm going to invite the guys up, Jacob and Joe and Wade. Can we give them a hand clap real quick? They're going to help me illustrate this. So this will kind of help you see this. So this order is how it's supposed to be intended. This is the order that God has intended. Spirit man is first. He's the one that's guiding us. He's the one that's given us discernment. I chose Joe for a reason here. He's the most spiritual, and I'm just kidding, guys. And then you have the soul, and the soul is the part where if the spirit is aligned correctly, the soul then takes its cues from the spirit, right? So there's the mind starts flourishing, the emotions start to flourish, the will, that will of selfishness begins to die, and then the body, lastly, is those things that come from the spirit man down to the soul finally translate into the body. So when Paul says the peace of God that transcends our thinking, he literally, I believe, is saying peace that you tangibly feel in your physical body. Now, here's what happens oftentimes. I'm going to rearrange these guys. So Joe, you go to the back of the line now. Wade's going to go to the front, and Jacob's going to go here. This is what happens oftentimes when we trust more in anxiety and depression and those things that make war on our mind. Our soul now is the primary controller of our body, right? And so this is actually not that great, because then our spirit man is left back here saying, man, I would love to give you peace. I would love to help you understand the ways of God, but you've put me last. And can I just say, church, like, it is so important to have proper alignment. And again, this isn't about perfection. This isn't saying that your spirit man is going to be first all the time. But I believe I'm going to give some strategy today of how to make the spirit man, let's go back to the original order, that the spirit man in our life, the thing that's been renewed and raised to life in Christ Jesus, I believe should have always dominion over these things. Because these things without the spirit man are also dead. Can we give it up? Thank you guys for your help. Galatians 5, 16 through 17. This is coming from the NIV as well. It says this. Paul says this to the church of Galatia. He says, so I say, walk by the spirit. Notice Paul didn't say walk by the soul. He didn't say walk by the body. He said, walk by the Spirit. Watch the next part. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You know what anxiety does when it's in the primary control and the soul is first in our life? It gratifies the flesh and it begins to torment the flesh and makes you feel that anxious feeling, that pressure of what anxiety causes. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. In case you didn't know this, the thing on your body right now, your flesh, your soul, your intellect, actually makes war against the things of God. It comes against the things. So when you start feeling like Jesus is saying, trust in my peace, son and daughter, your soul is crying out, don't trust in that. That's silly. Are you kidding me? What? That's some like hippie stuff. Like, don't trust in that. And your spirit is saying, no, this is the right order. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. Walk by the Spirit. I wish here Paul would give us 3 points of how to do that, right? Easier said than done. How do you walk by the Spirit? How do you make sure Spirit Man is the first person in that lineup and in control? So I want to give some practical truth and maybe helpful steps to you that when you're battling anxiety, you can properly align yourself to be able to help win the battle. Number one, if you're taking notes, is this, is we got to declare it to change it. This is by far, I think, the easiest of the three today, because declaring it just simply means I'm going to declare the problem that I'm facing, name it, anxiety, depression, eating disorder, social disorder, whatever, name that problem, declare it before God, and say, God, I can't change it. I need your supernatural help to help me be able to change it. Paul in Philippians, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer, that's not the part I want to focus on, and petition. What does petition mean? It means to declare it, to make it known. I think for some of us, we're afraid to admit the issues in our life because we somehow think that if we admit it, people will look different upon us and maybe even God would look different upon us. Can I just encourage you? Today's the day to declare it. What's the struggle? What's the point of conflict in your heart that's causing your emotions to go wild? Declare it before God. I think, like I said earlier, we live in a culture in the church that is really hard at admitting weakness because we always want to look like we're the strong ones. Can I just say there's seasons in our life where sometimes we have to admit that we're going through a struggle, and listen, that's okay. And beyond just praying about it, man, I don't know how it is up here. I was asking Jeremy and Carl about this, but I know in the South, there's this perception that there's a demon behind every bush and everything must just be supernatural. Can I say sometimes it's physical? Sometimes you just need to go sit down with a counselor and help them walk through and give you some steps of how to work with that thing. And there's sometimes where you just have to bring it before God in prayer, and maybe it's both. Maybe you have a trained clinical counselor who you sit down with. Maybe there's medication you take to help you. Maybe it's God as well. Maybe why don't all those things work together? If anxiety is plaguing your mind, declare it to God today. If it's causing havoc in your relationships, maybe even coming into a room like this, I know there's parts of anxiety where certain people can't walk into a crowded room. In fact, in my personal battle with anxiety, this was something I struggled with. I remember I would walk into church and I would feel like the room was caving in on me. And oftentimes I would find myself going to the prayer room when there's no one around just to try to get my thoughts clear, because it felt like I was suffocating. And it's, I'm telling you, it is so detrimental to your mental health because it's all you think about. And I remember the day when I finally said, enough's enough. I'm declaring this to you, God. I'm going to trust you with my anxiety. That was the day where freedom began to enter my life and began to change and renew my way of thinking. Number two, this is a really big one, is don't believe the lie that you're alone. Man, don't believe it. I know it's hard. I know the battle, whatever battle you're facing feels like maybe it's this really hard battle, and I know it probably is, and you feel like you're the only one facing it. Can I just assure you today that in this room, there is believers all around you who would love to come around you and partner with you in community to see that thing broken over your life. There is believers in this room who would love to say and encourage you, hey, I really think you should go see so-and-so because they helped me through a mental health crisis in my life. Right? There's believers in this room who would love to be able to work alongside of you and to help you in the struggle. When I was facing my battle with anxiety, I remember I declared it to God, and in that battle, he had specifically told me that I needed to seek out some medical help with it. some clinical help. And so I did that. I searched out spiritual, but as well as clinical help. And what I realized was the form of anxiety I was facing was one that was caused from a root of unforgiveness that I had towards someone. And so I had to forgive that person, which was a lengthy process because I didn't want to forgive that person. I wanted to hold on to the grudges and anger. But the anxiety got so bad in my life that, and Becca can attest to this, I literally lost like 50 pounds. I couldn't eat because I was convinced that if I swallowed food, I was going to choke. I had a struggle traveling on the interstate, a fear of being confined. So anxiety started off really, really small. It started off with some anxious thoughts. And then as that thing, as you know, like most things the enemy tries to ploy against us, it began to grow and manifest itself in my physical. So my physical body, the thing that was tormenting me in my mind, began to torment me in my physical self. Because again, my alignment was off. My emotions, my soul, my intellect was the thing that was in control. My spirit man was in the back seat screaming, saying, hey, I've got the peace of God here. I can help you through this. I can encourage you. Paul in Philippians 2, 1 through 5, he says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Paul says, in community, you're not alone. If you're a believer in Jesus today and you've noticed, maybe there's someone here in this room, maybe there's someone personally in your life, and you just notice something seems to be off with that person. Can I say today, maybe you reach out to them and see how they're doing. And not just, yeah, man, I'm doing great. Today's an awesome week. No, how are you really doing? How's your soul? How's your spirit? How's your body? Is there something stressful at work that's causing this anxiety to well up? Lastly, number three is prayer shapes our thought life. So the first one is we declare it to change it, right? We bring it before God and we say, God, I'm declaring this thing to you. I need your help to change it. Secondly, is we don't believe the lie that we're alone in whatever that thing that we're asking God to change. And finally, prayer. Prayer has been, I'm convinced, it's one of the most powerful tools we have as the believer. When we sit before the presence of God and we allow him to speak to us and we don't just utter our own requests, but we actually allow him to minister to our heart, it does something to our mind. It transforms our way of thinking. It transforms our thoughts. In fact, both anxiety and prayer, watch this, shape the physical and chemical structure of your brain. So again, when I'm believing in anxiety or you name it, whatever that thing is, I'm allowing that thing to chemically rewire my way of thinking. I'm not a neuroscientist by any means. I just know God's presence. And I know that from my personal history with this thing, that it did. It altered my chemical way of thinking. It altered my body, caused me to react. And I remember when I declared it and I started getting before Jesus and just seeking him. No agenda, just sitting before his presence and saying, Jesus, here I am. Master, show me the areas that maybe don't look so great. I never will forget, I was sitting in an inner healing counseling session. And I was at the end of my like rope. I was like, I'm desperate for change. And the two people that were in the room kind of guiding me through the session paused and they said, we want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? What's causing this? instantly out of my mouth, I uttered hatred towards this person who had betrayed me. And that feeling of suffocation and anxiety literally came on my physical body. And I remember when I uttered the words, "I forgive you," that feeling began to lift. And when I left that session, they encouraged me to sit before God, not with an agenda, but just to sit and allow him to minister. For those of us in the room who maybe are always on the go, sitting with God is really difficult. For us that love constant motion and music and things, people talking, sitting in utter quietness is really hard. But it is so nourishing for the soul. There's this place that you get to in that quiet and stillness where you feel the love of Jesus coming into those areas and beginning to renew them and refresh them. This is a practice that I'm still learning. I think for the rest of my days here in the here and now, I'll continue to learn. But this is just maybe, I don't want to call it a formula, but this is the way I practice my prayer life. The first thing is I always come before God with gratitude. No matter how crappy my day is going, no matter how much bad stuff has happened, I always come before his presence with gratitude. Why? Because gratitude lifts you up out of the negative and allows you to see that your life is actually really great. There's things to be thankful for. If nothing else, the breath in your lung is something to be thankful for. So I start this time by just saying, "Jesus, thank you that you saved me, that you renewed me, that you washed me. Thank you that you've set me free from sin and from bondage." I just begin to edify him and begin to thank him. And man, every single time I do that, the things that I was concerned with, the things that maybe anxiety was plaguing my mind with, begin to slowly lift, and now I'm focused on him. So I start with gratitude. The next practice I do is I repent. I think repentance is a cuss word in the church today. I feel like we get to this place where we come to Jesus and we think, "Oh, I never have to repent again." No, repentance is a daily walk. Crucifying the flesh is a daily walk. And so I just come before him. I say, "Jesus, I repent of X, Y, and Z, and B, and C, and D," and start laying it before him. I repent of those things. Would you make me new? Would you wash me? Repent for trusting more in the voice of anxiety than trusting in your voice. The next one is ask. And this is where I always start with people or needs that I know are around me. And I end with asking for myself and my family. So I start with, I usually try to think of some local, some international needs, maybe people in my life, in my case, students in my life who are maybe battling stuff. I begin to ask the Lord for those and say, "Jesus, I can't do it. They need your help. Would you come?" Right? So notice, I didn't start off with asking. In fact, it's very low on the list. Why? Because I want to spend time to minister to him. Last one, this is important, is yield. So I yield. I yield to his spirit. I yield to his ways. Because again, the Bible says that his ways are higher than my ways. My ways are always going to get me into trouble. My way of thinking is not always going to be the best way of thinking. And so I yield it before the Father and say, "Father, I yield my life. I submit it to you." For men, this is really hard. As men, we're proud and we feel like we're in control of a lot of things, and maybe we are. Can I encourage the men in the room? It's time to yield your life before the Father. It's time to lay down and say, "Listen, I yield whatever I'm struggling with, whatever I'm going through, I yield before you." This is just a simple everyday approach that I've found to be really helpful in realigning my life to make sure my spirit man is the one that is giving the primary direction in my life. That when my intellect says, "No, don't trust in your spirit man," that my spirit man would be right there to say, "No, trust in me. Trust in the voice of peace." Trust in the voice that gives understanding. I want to close today, and maybe you're in this room or on the live stream today, and this is a real battle for you. I mean, it is a real intense battle. Maybe it's something that has recently started. As I was praying this morning, I felt like there was going to be maybe someone in this room that anxiety, maybe you're older in age and you've never struggled with this, and somehow anxiety has started really welling up in you and you don't know what this is and it's confusing. I'm praying today that the peace of God that transcends our thinking, transcends our body, would come into that situation and give you peace in your physical. So with every head bowed, every eye is closed, no one's looking around, I want to honor this moment with the Lord. If that's you today, I'm going to ask just for you to be brave, because I just believe God honors it. If you are in this room today and anxiety is a real battle for you, would you just lift your hand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Man, come on. Come on, hands going up all over this place. Thank you, Jesus, for the people who are brave to say this is a real battle. And I don't know what to do with it. So, Father, right now, by your Spirit, I declare supernatural peace that transcends our thinking to overwhelm that person, that they would feel it, not just in their mind, or peace wouldn't just be kind of a thought we think about, but they would physically feel peace on their body right now. And so, Father, I declare peace in this room. For those on the live stream right now, I declare peace over that person watching who maybe is at the point of all in. They don't know what to do. That peace would come like a river to the soul, to the spirit, to the body. Would your peace come? And Father, I pray for those in this room today of us, maybe this isn't a battle that we face personally. Would you make us more keenly aware of those around us struggling with that battle? And would you help give us the grace and understanding to partner with those people? Father, I pray that your love would soften our hearts to be able to see the needs in our community and beyond. And that, Father, the war in our minds of anxiety, that we would be a people who are free from it, who know your ways, who trust in your ways. And so, Father, we just yield to you right now. We yield to your Spirit. We yield to what you're speaking. We say, enemy, you have no footholds. For the ones in here that were brave and lifted their hands, we say that the enemy, you are crushed, you are defeated in Jesus' name. We declare victory over the minds. And all of God's people said, amen.